Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 of them were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. There's a story about a sailor who went fishing with a real landlubber, a guy that didn't have any kind of sea legs at all, not much for being out on even the swimming pool, much less out in a body of water. And after quite an uneventful day of fishing until late in the afternoon, the landlubber hooked a big one. And he was unsure of himself and a little unsteady on his feet on the edge of the boat, and he leaned a little bit too far over, and yep, he went on in. So the problem here now is that he couldn't swim. Didn't have a vest on. He starts flapping and flailing and, "Help! Help me! Help me! I can't swim!" So the tour guide, the fellow that knows what he's doing, the salt, reaches down and he reaches to grab him by his hair, which is the closest thing he can get. And as he takes hold of his hair, whoosh, off it comes. Nice toupee, turns out. So the guy's still yelling, "Help, help, I'm drowning." He reaches down to grab an arm and, whoosh, aha, it was a prosthetic arm. Had no clue. And he's saying, "Help, help me, help me." So he reaches down, the next thing he can grab is a leg, and guess what? Yep, you got it. Came right off. That was a prosthetic too. He had no idea. And the man's saying, "Please help, please help." And the old salt just looks at him and says, "How can I help you if you won't stick together?" It's a problem that we face in the church, actually. It's a good question for the church. How can we help each other if we don't stick together? That's something we're really called to do, and our text gives us a picture of how those early Christians saw that being accomplished and took care of that in the life of the early Christian church. They were there to help each other. They were there to bless each other. They were there to be the church. Following Pentecost and that great outpouring of the Spirit that took place upon all the disciples, the early Christians shared in life together. And what happened in the church then is something that can still happen in the church today, where together we know that Jesus binds us as a family, as a community of believers, as a people belonging not just to ourselves, but truly belonging to each other in the way that we live this life. Fellow Christians are called to be a caring community. In our text, Luke identifies some things for us in particular in saying that the church needs to be a certain way and have a certain kind of attitude and way of doing things. And all those characteristics are outlined. And if you want to look back at the text, you may. If you don't, then listen away. But as it says in the text, those who accepted this message were baptized. We have the baptisms taken first. And about 3,000 were added to them that day. That's an incredible, incredible event without a doubt. But it's what takes place after this, once they're in the church, that really gives shape to what we know. And verse 42 is where it begins. It indicates it was a learning church. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They persisted in learning the truths of God. And the next would be, it was a church of fellowship because they also devoted themselves to the fellowship. We need to be a people also devoted to the fellowship in that same kind of way. We're called to be together, and there is a quality that we have of what we can do and who we are when we're together that we don't have when we're apart. The sum is greater than the individuals. And what a blessing it is for the things that we can do united together. And then he goes on to say that they not only were devoted in this form of fellowship, but they were a praying church, as we're also given in verse 42. To the breaking of bread and prayer. Are you devoted to prayer? Do you pray faithfully, regularly, for all people, for all situations, for anyone in need, for those not in need, just because you know them and you care about them and want to offer those prayers? We need to be a praying church. This doesn't meet the world's view as a way of getting things done. But praying is a very effective way of getting things done as a Christian. When we recognize that we're not the ones doing things ever on our own, but always with God on our side. And where we're not able to do, God is. And then in verse 43, we come across this understanding that they were a reverent church. Everyone was filled with awe, the many miraculous signs and wonders that had taken place. They were filled with this awe that was a respect. It says in this being filled with awe, in some texts it's worded that fear came upon every soul. That's the same kind of fear, though, that we get when we talk in the catechism about we should fear and love God. It's not a fear of being afraid of, scared for punishment. It's that awe of respect that we have to God, and we should always have to God. Never treating light the things of God, but always holding God as reverent. It was a church where things happened. Verse 43 says, many miraculous signs and wonders were being done. Things were happening there. When we expect great things from God, God will do great things. If you don't expect great things from God, then you're not going to even see the great things when they're happening, probably. We need to be on the lookout. We need to be ready. We need to be asking as well. Not just for the small things from God, but for the big things, knowing that God can handle it. And God can deal with everything that needs to be done. It was a sharing church. Verses 44 and 45 talk about how the believers were together. They had everything in common. They gathered their possessions and sold those and brought things together to help others. As a sharing church, they sought to bless others in their times of need. The early Christians had this intense responsibility toward each other. Do we have that kind of an intense responsibility toward each other in the church today? I'll give you a couple of examples that I can say show that kind of faithfulness and intense idea of sharing and caring that are going on in the church today. When the Garcias invited Chuck into their home for a couple of weeks, that was an example of that. In Peggy being ministered to by Mickey and Gabriel in the ways that they've been there for her while she has been healing. And this is an example of that. And I didn't ask for permission before I shared the example, so I'll ask for forgiveness later. But an example of that kind of caring and giving that goes on. What Kelly Moore did last night in staying all night long from 8 o'clock last night until 6 a.m. this morning with Diane by her side is an example of this kind of ministry that the church is to be about. It's not something we should have to give a second thought to, and it's not something we have to be thanked for, because this is what we do. It's always nice to get thanked, absolutely, but it's what we're to be as children of God, a community of believers, a family tied together, caring for one another. It was also a worshiping church. In verse 46, we hear that they continued to meet together in the courts. They broke bread in the homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And that gives us that other aspect of them. They were a joyful church. Glad and generous hearts. Glad and sincere hearts. And finally, it was an irresistible church, if you will. Because verse 47 says that in praising God and enjoying, they had the favor of all people. It was something that was attractive to others as they came together. What's our church like? Do we fall in this line? Are we coming close to some of these things? Are we even attempting it? I hope so. I believe we are. And no, I don't think we get it right all the time by any means. I don't think any congregation does. But I see us desiring this. And that's the biggest step right now, is to move towards it. And in moving toward it, we can accomplish those things with God on our side. There's a community that God has created us to be. And that's really something that it's an up and down thing in our society right now, in our area of the world at least, this idea of community. Because there are some areas where everyone wants to be involved and be a part of something. And then there are some things that people say, well, I just don't have time for that. I don't want to be connected. I don't want to be too involved. And we get that sometimes with church. And wanting to come and worship, but not wanting to do anything. That's one of the joys of having a small family church. We have people working together most frequently, working side by side, knowing each other's lives and caring for each other. You get into the mega churches and people come and worship and then they leave. And that's their connection to the church and their involvement in the church in many cases. It can happen in small churches too. But we got a better chance of keeping up with folks here. And God wants us to be that way. He wants us to be that kind of a community, bonded together, gathered together, working together. That's why he lays this out for us in the book of Acts and says, this is what the early church was like. Not so you can see how we've changed, but how we desire and should desire to stay the same. We need to be like this if we want to receive God in the same way that the early Christian church did. And God is not someone we just put in a box for the rest of the week and then take back out on Sunday mornings to worship and adore. It needs to be an intricate part of our life and the body of other Christians around us. Not just the community of believers in this place, but in your workplace where you have other Christians that are there, that's a place too. That's a community as well. And it needs to be made a community if it's not, so that you know you have each other. You're there for each other. And you're there because that's what family does. And that's what a community gathered together in God's name does. The people of the world need fellowship. They need intimacy. We are getting so far away from these things. Instant messaging started this stuff. Back on the computers, and this was before we had any of this kind of stuff on phones. I know for a few of you younger ones, it's hard to believe that time existed. But yeah, there was a time when phones had tails, kind of like the dinosaurs. You couldn't walk around with a phone without a tail. We need to look back at what the church was, and we need to be what the church was. We need to follow this fellowship and this intimacy, because that's what God calls us to be as a people, to experience again together what God desires for all of us. And he wants us to connect, not to disconnect. And that doesn't mean then to the internet, because that's where it takes place, right? So many people are sending the text, and these are good tools. These are all good tools. Computer, the internet, phones, they're all great tools can be used in great ways. But they can also be a problem. They can distract families from talking to each other. I have seen it in the Chili's. I remember so clearly. Mom and dad and two children, all four at the dinner table, not talking, all working on their phones. No idea what they were doing, but I'm thinking they probably weren't texting back and forth either. But the art of communication was just gone there. And what a shame on what they're missing out on. And it does happen where people are living in these impersonal life. We disconnect from each other. We don't involve ourselves in each other's time. We send a message. We check in. We see how they're doing. But we don't get to know the people like we used to. We're losing that intimacy also in the church. Because whatever happens in the world, it's happening here too, because we're people of the world that are gathered together. God would desire that we would go back to some of these other ways, to be more involved with the fellowship, to be more involved in praying to and for each other. And not just sending a text that says, I'll pray for you. All right, if you're going to have to do it that way, type out a prayer and send it off. Or call and pray. You can do those things. But connect to each other. Be a people that recognize that we're a family. And we're here for each other. The people of God are called to fellowship and intimacy, to be involved in each other's lives to the point that we are there for each other in our times of need, and also in our times of celebration. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And what a great thing it is when we can rejoice together. And the excitement and enthusiasm we have to build each other up. Togetherness is really what the early Christian church shows that they were about. They remained together. And then they brought others into the mix, and they remained with them as well. They stayed together. They had all things together in common. They were a caring community. They were a Christian community. And it's the model for the church still today, to be that caring community, to recognize what God has given us and continues to give us, this opportunity to be devoted to God's word, to the preaching, to the teaching, Bible study and devotions in Sunday school, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, to gather together, to recognize that we need to support those that have needs that go beyond what our experiences are. We have what we need. We need to be able to bless others that are in need. And the church needs to be able to be a place where those that have needs can come and if at all possible, be able to have them met by the family. But to meet together also regularly, to eat together in each other's homes, to praise God together when we gather together. That's what we're about as a community of believers. The giant sequoia trees of California can tower as much as 300 feet into the air. Amazing things. I've never seen them in person, but the pictures I've seen are amazing. I know several of you have seen that. But it's so unique that these trees are there because they have one of the most shallow root systems of any tree. Typically, trees down here, where there's not much moisture, send this gigantic taproot down into the ground. And if the tree goes 50 feet up, there's a taproot probably going about 50 feet down if it can make it. There's as much below the ground of this tree as there is above the tree in the root system. The sequoias, their roots are all over the ground and very shallow. But what holds them up and holds them together is that their roots are all intertwined. That's why these sequoias don't grow individually out on their own. They grow together as a forest because they're all interlocked as a community. On the opposite side of that, about 10 years ago or more now, I think, in the glass arboretum at the Fort Worth Botanical Gardens, there was a tree that had been growing in there for 60 years. Hadn't been growing all in the building for 60. It hadn't been there that long, but for 40 years in the building. Without experiencing any wind, without any shifting, without any struggles, it was getting the regular watering it needed and everything. And there was one of those little wind bursts that we get once in a while, a downburst. It busted out a lot of glass in there, toppled that tree like it was nothing. Couldn't stand up to just a little storm. The sequoias have weathered generations of storms, major storms, and catastrophes. There's so much more we can do when we stay connected. There's so much more that God can use us to accomplish when we work together. And we're able to grow much stronger and for the world to see much bolder for the work of the Lord when we work together and we remain connected, intertwined, involved with each other, a community of believers with a purpose. And that purpose is to praise our God and to look for the blessings that are ahead. May we continue to be that community. May we continue to shine like the early Christian church. And may God continue to strengthen us in our relationships together and in our work together in His name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God.